All right, I will say good morning. Good morning. Let us begin. Begin by thanking all of our sponsors for this morning's shiur. To begin by thanking our Talmud Torah sponsors for the month of Kislev, Adam and Allison Steinitz, in memory of Adam's grandfather, Rabbi Sheldon Steinitz, Harav Shlomo Tzvi Ruvain, Ben Shimon Zichrono Livracha, an honor that is in the Shem Shavin Aliyah, Shem Elis Yosef for his children, his grandchildren, and Kenai Nahara. Another update, 36 great-grandchildren. Incredible. Meretz Hashem, the Shem Shavin Aliyah, should be a Melech Yosher for the entire Mishpacha. Sammy and Malka Esterson, in memory of their parents, Yitzchok Leib Ben Aaron HaKohen, Sarah Rachel Bas Baruch Avram, Hinda Bas Henech Ephraim, and in memory of their dear family friend, Staff Sergeant Naftali Ona, Gordon Hashemi Komdama, who fell in battle in Gaza on Erev Hanukkah 2023. Paul and Kathy Pollack, in memory of Leah Bas Shmuel, Zachrini Shulamis Bas Shmuel, and Esther Bas Zacharyo. Our Day of Learning sponsor, Hilary Jacobson Kent, in memory of her father, Tzvi Hirsch Ben Chanoch Zichrono Livracha, and our Daf Yomi sponsors for today, Alan Sarah Steinberg, in the Schos of Continued Health for Shulamis Chana Bas Sosha. We hope that in the merit of our Talmud Torah, all of the Neshamas Adon Aliyah, the families Zayn Chama, all those who need a refuah, Shavon together with Kol Chol Yisrael and Chodesh Baruch Hu should Emirat Hashem shower bracha and besoros tovos upon all of Am Yisrael. And both said with that, let us begin. We have a lot to do today. Great daf ahead of us today. Today's daf is Pei Beis 82. We are picking up at the Mishnah on Pei Aleph Amud Beis. Says the Mishnah, Hanitanim Bifnim, Shinis Arub Benitanim Bachutz. It's mostly an interesting case over here. You have literally, again, exterior blood. So again, carbonic blood that is normally applied on the Mizbeach outside, the Mizbeach Achitzon, that is mixed with interior blood. So we'll say, what's the halacha? Yishpichu la'ama. Everyone agrees, halacha la'maisa, go ahead and pour it down the channel. Now, this is really fascinating. Rashi points this out over here, that fascinating enough, who doesn't disagree in this case? Rabbi Eliezer. Rabbi Eliezer is the one who said in yesterday's daf, or yesterday, the last 2 days, what was Rabbi Eliezer's shita? Rowan. Yet Rabbi Eliezer does not go ahead and mention Rowan in this Mishnah. Again, we'll talk about that. Nasan b'chutz. The Chazar and Nasa Mithnim. However, what happens, Rabbi Saif? Let's say, Cohen didn't ask. And instead, what did he do? He took this combination of blood. And first he applied it outside of the Mizbeach, and then he applied it inside. Kasher. Ultimately, again, it's going to be Chaj Kasher. What happens if he reversed the order? What happens if he applied it inside Mithnim? The Chazar and Nasa Mechutz. What happens if he applied it inside the Heichal? This is on the Mizbeach, on the interior Mizbeach, the older Mizbeach. And then he went ahead and did the applications on the outer Mizbeach. So what's his Machlokas? Rabbi Akiva posel. Rabbi Akiva says it is posel. Rabbi Akiva says it's posel. The Chacham Machshirim. The Chachamim ultimately again say that it's kosher. Now both say, what's the logic? And this is quite fascinating. Why does Rabbi Akiva say it's posel? Rabbi Akiva Omer kol damim shenichnesu lechaper beheichal psulim. Rabbi Akiva says that halacha lemaisa, any time you take exterior blood inside, that blood is posel. The blood is posel. And therefore, halacha lemaisa, when you take this combination of blood, once you take it in, it is going to be posel. What are the Chachamim? The Chacham say, no. The Chacham say, yes, I agree. That if you take exterior blood and you bring it inside, the blood is posel, but that only applies to Chatos. Chatos, again, we'll discuss in the Gemara exactly why they have this machlokes. Rabbi Eliezer Omer, Af Asham. Rabbi Eliezer says, by the way, it's not just Chatos, but it's also Asham that is automatically invalidated if you bring it inside. Shneimar ki Chatos ka Asham. Rabbi Eliezer, we see this theme every time, right? That, in other words, there is this strong connection between Chatos and Asham. Therefore, whatever applies for Chatos will also apply for Asham. And therefore, Alocha L'maisa, just like if you bring in Chatos blood into the inside, it is possible. So too, if you bring in Asham blood inside, it is possible as well. Incredible. I suffrak the Gemara of the Niflogna, Rabbi Eliezer, Baha. So what's this? What's the Gemara? Ask Rabbi Eliezer, why aren't you arguing over here? In the last Mishnah, you argued in every case of mixture, and you applied the concept of Rowan. Right? You're supposed to say again, remember again, we had the case where we call like Lamala blood got mixed together with Lamata blood. And what did Rabbi Eliezer say? Just do both applications. What about the fact that you're applying Lamata blood Lamala and Lamala blood Lamata? Remember again, what did Rabbi Eliezer say? We view the blood that's not supposed to be applied as water, as mayim. So why doesn't Rabbi Eliezer disagree over here in this case of the Mishnah as well? Why not say just do the blood applications on the interior, exterior, and when you're inside, view the outside blood as water, and when you're outside, view the inside blood as water? To which the Gemara says, I'll tell you why. Hechi la'avid. Because here you're a little bit stuck. Here you're a little bit stuck. Why are you stuck? Because what should you do? Nesiv b'chutz v'hadr nesiv b'fnim. Shabbos say, so here we have a problem. If you go ahead and you first apply the exterior blood and then the interior blood, that's not going to work. Why? Kashim she mitzvah lahaktim el yonim l'tachtonim. Because we're all saying the same way that there is a mitzvah ultimately again to do lamala blood before the mata blood. Kach mitzvah lahaktim pnim l'chutz. There is a mitzvah to go ahead and do the interior blood before exterior blood. So the Gemara says, top of pei beis, 83. So Rabbi say, that's the problem. If you go ahead and you do the exterior blood first, you're in violation of that order. So therefore, again, I'll say, pei beis and aleph, 82a, v'nesiv lifnim v'hadra nesiv l'chutz. Fine. So go ahead and do the interior blood before you do the exterior blood. You can't do that. Why? Kevan di'ika chatas v'asham, d'chi nichnas damam psulim lo psikole. Because that will work. Although, that can work for some karbanos. Since everyone agrees it won't work for Chatos, and Rabbi Eliezer also says it also won't work for Asham, that's not a valid Eitza. It's not a valid Eitza, because it's not a valid Eitza. Essentially, Rabbi Eliezer cannot apply Rowan. Quite fascinating. Okay, I'll just point out, if you look back just for a moment, on that last line of Pei Aleph Amabez, I think that line is such a beautiful Yisod. What is the Mishnah? What is the Gemara supposed to say? Last line on 81b. Kishim shemitzvah lahaktim al yonim l'tachtonim. So Rabbi say, this is a general klal in life. In life, you always have to give precedence to the al yonim above the tachtonim. A person should always make sure that they are placing proper emphasis on their ruchnius and not just focusing on their gashmius. We are in this constant tug of war between ultimately, again, our al yonim, right? Our spirituality and our physicality. So what does the Gemara say? It is so important to make sure to give priority to your spiritual development. Even about, again, obviously we all have to pay attention to our gashmius. We all have to pay attention to our material side. Of course, and we should enjoy our material side. But what's at the top of your personalistic pyramid? Right? At the end of the day, what receives the bulk of your devotion and attention? So Chazal tell us, Kishim shemitzvah lahaktim al yonim tachtonim. You have to put your ruchnius above your gashmius. Kach mitzvah lahaktim pinim l'chutz. Same idea, but I say so too. It is very important to focus on what is inside and not just to focus on the externalities. It is easy to put on the appearance and all of the trappings of a devoted Jew. But what's on the outside is much less important than what is on the inside. The same way you have to give precedence to the Alyonim above the Tachtonim, you have to give precedence to your Ruchnius above your Gashmius, you have to give precedence to the Pnim more than the Luchutz. You have to give precedence ultimately again to who you are and what you truly are on your inside, and that is so much more important than what the external trappings represent. Incredible. Incredible. All right, back to the Gemara. Pei Beis Amud Aleph, 82a, 82a, two dots. Such a incredible. By the way, every once in a while you come across a formulation in Chazal where the entirety of Yiddishkeit is summarized in one line. That last line, if you're using your own Gemara, underline it, highlight it, bold it, copy it, make it a screensaver, whatever you need to do. Rabbi said, but that's it. That's it. Prioritize your ruchnius over your gashmius and make sure that you're spending the time developing who you are on the inside and not just focusing on the external trappings of Yiddishkeit. Incredible. Let's go back to Rabbi Akiva Omer. Because Rabbi Akiva said, Rabbi says, remember again, Rabbi Akiva said, anytime exterior blood enters the interior of the Beis HaMikdash, it becomes pasul. That's Rabbi Akiva's position. And Rabbi Akiva seems to hold that, not seems to hold, Rabbi Akiva holds that by all karbanos. Any exterior karban that comes inside, ultimately again, is going to be pasul. Whereas the Chacham hold that only applies to chatos. Says Gemara Yehudah Meshmuel, so mashlama davadam, to what could this be compared? Rabbi say, the Gemara is going to give the mashal. The mashal is not going to make all that much sense, and then we'll see the mashal as it's read into the psukim. So the Gemara said, "Mashal ma'adavadoma, the Talmud shemazak l'rabo chamin." So we'll say this can be comparable to a student who went ahead and made his rebbe a cup of wine with warm water. In other words, again, both say the way they used to make wine is they would take wine concentrate, they would dilute it with water, and you had up a cup of wine. So you could do it apparently with cold water or with warm water. So Talmud made his Rebbe a cup of wine with warm water, and then the Rebbe said, make for me a cup of wine. Amrlo, so the Talmud says to the Rebbe, Bimma, so Rebbe, what would you like? Do you want warm water, hot warm water, cold water? Amrlo, lo bechamen anu asukin. Did you not, right, were we not dealing with warm water? In other words, you made the previous cup. He made the previous cup with warm water. Achshav, bein bechamen, bein betzoni. But now, you can make it with warm water or with cold water. Okay, so what's the name? So what exactly is the message over here? Hachanami soto over here, michti bechatas askinon. So Rebbe said, the pasuk ultimately again is dealing with chatas. Va'asi chatas the kasev rachman alamali. And why do I need another chatas? Rebbe said, okay, so let me give you a bit of context over here. The pasuk that the Gemara is dealing with is, v'chol chatas ashayuva midama el oel moed, l'chaper bakodesh lo te'achel ba'esh tisareif. The Torah says explicitly that halacha lemaisa, if you go ahead and you bring the chatas blood into the interior of the Beis HaMikdash, that the chatas is invalid. That is an explicit pasuk. Now, what the Gemara is bothered by, what Shmuel is bothered by, is the pasuk is already embedded in a more general discussion of chatas. Because of that, it was unnecessary for the Torah to mention chatas specifically in the pasuk. In other words, contextually, I already know we're talking about chatas. So because of that, why does the pasuk have to say the chol chatas again? That's the shaila. So Gemara says, I'll tell you why. El alav, Gemara says, vasi chatas the chasar rachman alamali. El alav, chatas ka'aminale. El akol kachim. So as I say, interestingly enough, the fact that ultimately, again, the Torah says chatas again, so must mean that what? That perhaps the Torah is not just referring to chatas, but rather chatas is representative of all kachim. And therefore what? Therefore what is it coming to teach us? That any time you bring exterior sacrificial blood inside, ultimately, again, the blood is invalid. The blood is invalid. So the Gemara says, "Maske l'Rafuna b'Rei Rav Yoshua." One second. Michti istrabu kol kachim legavi mizbeach le'ini mariko shtifa. So Rabbi says, remember again, halacha l'maisa, all kachim are included in the halachas of mariko and shtifa. Rabbi says, the halachas of mariko and shtifa are the halachas that say the following. Namely, that halacha l'maisa, whenever you have a carbon and use a carbon in a kli, the kli absorbs. And therefore, if you want to use that kli, you want to use that utensil afterwards for some other use, mundane use, you have to kasher it. That's called marik and shtifa. So all carbonos are included in marik and shtifa. Chatas, the kasev rachman alamali. Why the need to go ahead and write chatas? Shmamina chatas in midi achrin alo. It must be to tell us that a dafka applies to chatos and not to other items. In other words, so therefore, what the Gemara is suggesting is, whenever you see a carbon singled out, perhaps the intention of the Torah is dafka to apply the halacha to the singled out carbon and not to all other carbonos. Aye, v'ha lo damya ela letame. Therefore, again, really, if you want to compare it to a mashal, you should compare it ultimately again to the following mashal. Letamid shemazag l'rabo, bein b'chamen, bein b'tzonein. To a Talmud ultimately who made his Rebbe a cup of wine. And apparently the Rebbe was not makbid whether or not the water was warm or the water was cold. Amar lo al timzogli el chamin. And now the Rebbe says, only make me from warm water. So in other words, they both say, this is what it's better compared to. Rebbe made the Talmud a cup of wine. The Rebbe, did it matter to him if ultimately, again, if the water is warm or the water is cold? Now the Rebbe asks for a second cup of wine, but this time the Rebbe says, only make it for me with warm water. So Rebbe says, this works a little bit better. Why? Because the Torah is talking about chatas in general. And then the Torah says, by the way, don't bring chatas blood inside, into the interior of the Beis HaMikdash. So it makes more sense to say, what does the halacha of interior disqualification apply to? Dafkut only applies to chatas. Why? Because chatas was explicitly mentioned. Just like the Rebbe that says, okay, you made for me beforehand a cup of wine. It didn't matter to me if it was warm water or cold water. Now I want it to be warm water. Elatem Rabbi Akiva mechatas. Mechatas v'chol chatas. Rather, Rabbi Akiva's logic ultimately, again, is from the lashon of chatas v'chol chatas. Tesanya, chatas eini elachatas. So we'll say, when the Torah says chatas, I only know that halacha applies to chatas. Kadshe kadoshim minayin. How do I know that it applies to other karbanos? The Gemara says, Tamalomar, kol chatas. See, interestingly enough, the pasuk says kol chatos. It doesn't just say chatos asher yuva midama el ol moed. Rather, it says v'chol chatos. What does v'chol chatos teach you? That the halacha of interior disqualification applies to all karbanos. The Gemara says, divrei Rabbi Akiva. These words are Rabbi Akiva. Because we'll say, remember again, just to keep your eye on the ball over here. We're trying to figure out the Mishnah had a machlokas. What was the case of the Mishnah? The case of the Mishnah was, you have interior blood that gets mixed with exterior blood. What's the halacha? Yishafeich la'ama. Go ahead and pour it out. Then the Mishnah says, well, what happens if halacha l'maisa, you didn't pour it out, but you utilized it? So then ultimately, again, it depends. If halacha l'maisa, you applied it outside and then inside, it's kasher. But if you applied it inside first, everything is possible. Now again, let me take that back. If you did it inside first and then outside, Rabbi Akiva says it's possible. The Chachamim ultimately again say that it's kasher. Why does Rabbi Akiva say it's possible? Because Rabbi Akiva holds any exterior sacrificial blood that was brought inside is automatically disqualified. Which the Chachamim say that only applies to Chatos, and Rabbi Eliezer adds on Asham. We're trying to figure out Rabbi Akiva's logic. Why does Rabbi Akiva hold this? So halacha l'maisa, the Gemara is suggesting over here now, what's the source of Rabbi Akiva? The Torah doesn't just say chatos, rather it says v'chol chatos. V'chol chatos. All chatos whose blood is brought inside. What is all chatos comes to include? All karbanos. Any exterior karbanos that are brought inside are automatically disqualified. Amar Rabbi Yosef Levi. Rabbi Yosef Levi says, we'll say first wide line, afilu atam marbe kol hayom kulo. So this is great. Rabbi Yosef Levi says, listen, Rabbi Akiva, you could be marbe, right? You could include whatever you want all day long. Eini shomei alecha. I'm not listening to you. Bet you also you can imagine, like it's like putting his fingers in his ear. No, no matter. You could be marbe the whole day long. I am not listening to you. Eini gemara says, eini shomei alecha, ela chatos. So essentially, basically, he says no. The chol chatos doesn't make sense to say that that's a ribui for all karbanos. That can't be. Chol chatos means chatos. But yet, I will agree with you that kol is a ribui. What is it coming to be marbe? Only ela chatos yochid. Chatos sirah minayin. I might have thought this only applies to an individual chatos. How do we know that disqualification applies even to a communal chatos? Tamu lomar kol chatos. Ve'eini ela chatas zohar. Chatas nekiv minayin. Furthermore, I know it only applies to a male chatas. I don't know that it applies to a female chatas as well. Tamud lomar v'chol chatas. What's this here? Rabbi Yosef Lili saying? Rabbi Yosef Lili saying is, Rabbi Akiva, I fundamentally disagree with what you're doing. You're using kol chatas to include other karbanos. To me, that doesn't make any sense. What I will agree with you is that kol chatas can do what? Can include other chatas offerings. The Gemara just says, klape laya. Whereas, first of all, that last part makes no sense. Rabosai, generally, the majority of chatas offerings are female animals. There are a couple of male ones. The Gemara says, therefore, just says, yeah, ela hakamar, eni ela chatas nekeva. I only know that kol chatas includes a female chatas. Chatas zochem minayin. I don't know that it even includes a male chatas. Talmud lomar, v'chol chatas. Good. Sefer Rabosai, Rabbi Yosef Lili disagrees with Rabbi Akiva's understanding of v'chol chatas. Aye. V'savar Rabbi Yosef Lili, hay krala hachiyuda asa. Does Rabbi Yosef Lili really use this pasuk of v'chol chatas to include other forms of chatas offerings? V'atanya, we learn, Rabbi Yosef Lili omer, l'fisha matzinu kala inyin kulo, eino medaber ela v'parim hanisrafim, Usiirim hanisrafim, listrof pisulehen abes habira, velamod below sase alachiloso. Rabbi Yosef Lili says that this whole pasuk, only seems to be talking about a case ultimately again of parim hanisrafim, sirim hanisrafim, to tell us that whatever is invalidated is burnt on the Beis HaBira, and ultimately, again, tell you that there's a low sase for their consumption. Amru lo, chatas shenichnas tama lifnai b'lifnim minayin. From where do you know? So interestingly enough, Rabbi Yosef Galili seems to say the pasuk of chatas is teaching something totally different. Amru lo, he said to Rabbi Yosef Galili, so chatas shenichnas tama lifnai b'lifnim minayin. So where do you know just the basic disqualification of chatas that was brought inside? Amru lahem, hein lo huva. And ultimately, again, he learns that from a different pasuk of hein lo huva estamam. Estamala Kodesh Pnima. So we'll say that's actually by Parshas Achrimos. That's ultimately after the death of Nadav and Avihu. To which the Gemara says, finally, Dvar Rabbi Akiva Kamar. You're right, Rabbi Yosef Lili actually learns out the disqualification of Chatas from a different source. But Rabbi Yosef Lili is responding, he's responding ultimately to the words of Rabbi Akiva. Incredible, incredible. So we'll say, Halacha L'maisa, we are left with this Machlokis, Rabbi Akiva and the Chachamim, which is a fascinating Machlokis. In general, the psul, the disqualification of exterior blood that is brought inside, what does it apply to? Rabbi Akiva says it applies to all sacrificial blood. Chachamim say it applies to only two chatos. Rabbi will say, how do we paskin? Ultimately, the Rambam paskin is like the Chachamim, that the disqualification of exterior sacrificial blood that is brought inside only applies to chatos, does not apply to other karbanas. That's how we pass now Allah Halamaisa. Incredible. Alright, Rabbi say Mishnah. Chata Shekibo Dama Bishnei Kosos was a really interesting case. Really interesting. So Chata Shekibo Dama Bishnei Kosos. Listen to this. So Rabbi say, I shechted the karban. And I'm doing Kabbalah in a Kli Sharis. Right? And now what did I do? I did something interesting. I did Kabbalah in two different utensils. Now again, that by itself is not a big deal, right? So I don't need to do that. All you need is blood in one kli sharis. But for whatever the reason, I went ahead and I did Kabbalah in two kosos, two cups. Okay, now what happened to both sides? This is fast. Watch this. So I have cup A, cup B. Yotza echad mehem lachutz. I then take cup A outside of the Beis HaMikdash. So obviously, what's the halacha when you take sacrificial blood outside of the Beis HaMikdash? It's pasul. You're going to see over here, what the Mishnah is going to be dealing with is when you have two cups of sacrificial blood, and you disqualify one of them, is there an impact of the disqualification on the other one? Isn't that fascinating? So in this case over here, I have cup A, cup B. I take cup A outside of the Beis HaMikdash. So the Mishnah says, Hapanimi kasher. Cup B, which is still inside the Beis HaMikdash, is kasher. No problem, still kasher. Nichnas echad mehem lifnim. What happens if instead of taking cup A outside, instead what do? I take cup A into the Beis HaMikdash itself. Into the Heichel. So what's that halacha? Rabbi Yosef Lili machshir b'chitza. Rabbi Yosef Lili says, no problem. Cup B, which is still in the proper area, is going to be kasher. The Chum say, no, it's pasul. Right? Even cup B. So I'll say, remember again, cup B is exactly where it's supposed to be. Even cup B is going to be pasul. Absolutely, dramatically riveting. We're going to see exactly what the nature of that this machlokes is. So I'll say, so let's watch this. The Mishnah actually records a conversation over here. Rabbi Yosef Lili says like this: Ma'im b'makom shemachshav posalas b'chutz lo asa esam shuyer ki yotze. So Rabbi Yosef Lili says, I don't understand why this should be puzzle. This is look. If you take cup A outside, now both say, what's the difference about b'chutz? B'chutz Shabosai. Remember what's about when I say b'chutz, you think outside. Okay. Try again. When I say b'chutz, you think pigle. Excellent. Right? Pigle. Right. That's what pigle is. So Rabbi Yosef Lili says like this. If when you're doing the avoda, you have a machshavas chutz, you have in mind to do some part of this outside, what does that do to the karban? That invalidates the karban. Yet, if you take cup A outside, everyone agrees that cup B is fine. Then all the more so, makum shein hamachshava poselas bifnim, eino din shlo nasa es hamashuyar. Let's say when you're doing the karban, you have in mind to bring the blood inside the Kodesh HaKadoshim. What does that do to the karban? Absolutely nothing. It doesn't invalidate it. So listen to this. A machshavas chutz invalidates the karban, right? A machshavas pnim doesn't invalidate the karban. So therefore, if we're going to agree that if you take cup A outside, cup B is still good, then all the more so when you take cup A inside, ultimately, again, cup B should be totally fine. That's the argument of Rabbi Yosef Lili, which makes perfect sense. Nichnas lechaper, as the Gemara says, nichnas lechaper. Fine. So we'll say, so that's our machlokes, Rabbi Yosef Lili and the Chachamim. Ultimately, again, so again, everyone is agreeing in the first case that when you have two cups of chatas blood, if you took one cup, you took cup A outside, cup B is still totally good. If you took cup B inside the Kodesh, so again, Rabbi Yosef Lili says, kasher chachamim say pasul. Next, nichnas lachaper afa bishlo kiper, pasul the Rabbi Eliezer. So let's listen to this. What happens if you brought the blood? You brought the blood. So the same case. I have two cups of chatas blood, right? I brought cup A inside, because again, I got confused. I got confused. And I was going to go ahead and do the sprinkling, do the hazal on the inside, but I realized my mistake and I never ended up doing it. So I brought it inside, but didn't do anything with the blood. So ultimately, again, pasul de Rabbi Elazar. Elazar says the blood is going to be pasul. Rabbi Shimon says, no, the blood is not actually invalidated until you actually do something with it. But if you just brought it in with the intention to do avod with it, but you didn't end up doing it, the blood is going to be fine. Rabbi Huda says, in hichnis shogeg kosher. Rabbi Huda says, if you went inside the shogeg, ultimately, again, it is still going to be kosher. Still going to be kosher. Kaladam psulin shenas nagabe mizbeach lo hirtz es hatzitz el asatami. We'll say now the Gemara transitions different halacha. In general, if you apply invalidated blood, right, disqualified blood on the mizbeach. So ultimately, again, the tzitz. Rabbi said, now what's the tzitz? The tzitz is the head plate that the Kohen Gadol wears that says Kodesh LaHashem. And we're going to discuss that the tzitz has certain curative powers. But the tzitz can only go ahead and cure something, can only rectify something by tumah. Otherwise, the tzitz doesn't have the ability to rectify any other disqualifications. The tzitz can only take care of tumah, but doesn't take care of anything else. Incredible. Abba say, what a Mishnah. Says the Gemara Tanya. So what we're going to be focusing on over here is machlokes in the Chachamim. Namely, I have two cups of chatas blood. What do? I take cup A into the Kodesh. Inside. Abba say, and remember again, this is important because what did we establish in the previous Mishnah? What does everyone agree with? Everyone agrees that if you bring chatas blood inside, then what's the halacha? It's disqualified. Everyone agrees with that. Here, what's unique in this case is I have two cups of chatas blood, A and B. I brought A inside, but B is still outside. So what's the shaila? Everyone is going to agree that's what? What is it? Let's go with what everyone agrees with. Everyone agrees that? Cup A is invalid. The shaila is, does cup B remain kosher? Rabbi Yosef Lili says yes, and the Chachamim say no. That's our machlokes that we're dealing with over here. Says the Gemara Tanya, and I will say, obviously, what's at the core of the machlokes? How do we view A and B as two different chatas bloods, right? Or do we view A and B as one unit of chatas blood? That's the fundamental shaila. Says the Gemara Tanya, Rabbi Yosef Lili, Kavachomer. Rabbi Yosef says Kavachomer. Now, the Gemara is going to requote the Kavachomer Rabbi Yosef made in the Mishnah. Uma b'makom shemachshava poselas b'chutz, lo posel dam shebachutz shebifnim. So when it comes to b'chutz, where a machshava schutz, intention when engaging in any part of the sacrificial service, to do any part of it outside renders the carbon invalid, yet everyone agrees if you take cup A outside, cup B is totally kosher. Makom shemachshava, makom shein mach a machshavas pnim, which everyone agrees does not render the carbon invalid. Everyone agrees, therefore, that what? Even if you bring cup A inside, cup B should remain valid. This is Rabbi Yosef Lili. So the Gemara says, good. So Amar Le, Hare Hu Omer Asher Yuva Midama Afilu Mikzas Tama. They say back to Rabbi Yosef Lili, but 1 second. The pasuk says, if any of the chatas blood is brought in, which indicates to us, even if only some of the blood is brought in and the rest of the blood remains outside, ultimately all of the chatas blood is going to be invalid. Amar Lahem, Kavachomer liyotze me'ato. So he said to them, let's make a Kavachomer ultimately again for Yotze from the following case. Uma b'makom shin machshava poselas bifnim, posel dam shebifnim es shebachutz. So Rabbi says, listen to this. If in a case, ultimately, again, where machshava does not invalidate, that's the case of pnim. So yet we're going to say that the blood that comes inside invalidates the blood that's outside. Makom shemachshava poselas bachutz. So if that's the case again, then bachutz, where machshava does invalidate, ain odin sheif soldam shabachutz shebifnim. So basically he says, if you're right and I'm wrong, then ultimately, again, then certainly in the case of chutz, the remaining blood should be invalidated as well. Amrulah, harehu omer asher yuva asher yuva. They said realistically, the pasuk says asher yuva hanichnas posel ve'yotzei posel. I'm sorry, it's just two different halachas. Blood brought inside is invalid. Blood taken outside is not invalid. Utehei machshava bifnim posel es mikav chomer. So maybe again, Rabbi said, maybe even a machshavas pnim. Maybe even if the kohen has a machshava to do any part of the avoda or do anything on the inside, that should also invalidate the carbon from a kav chomer. What's the kav chomer? Uma b'makom shlo posel dam shebachutz es shebifnim machshava posel es bachutz. So Rabbi said, at the end of the day, right, blood taken outside does not invalidate the blood that is left inside. Yet, a machshavas chutz does invalidate. Therefore, makom shepasal dam shebifnim es dam shebachutz. A situation where blood taken inside does invalidate the remaining blood outside. Eino din shetei machshava poselas bifnim. So certainly then, why don't we say that a machshavas pnim, right? So again, a machshava, a thought, to do any part of the avoda inside should invalidate the carbon in totality. Harehu omer bayom ashlishi. The Bible says the pasuk says bayom ashlishi. What does that mean? Amud beis makom shumashulash bedam bebasra beimun. The Bible says we actually had this sugya many moons ago, right? Where it's quoted from Daf Chavtes. The Bible says in order for a machshava ultimately to invalidate, the makom, the place, has to have a threefold criteria. Number one, dam basar imurim. It has to be a place where there could be blood application, ultimately, again, consumption of meat, and burning of sacrificial parts, or burning of meat as well. So therefore, again, if you notice, right, bifnim doesn't fit that criteria. Because the only one of those three things that you could do bifnim is blood application. So therefore, again, by definition, pigel could only apply in a place that satisfies these three criteria. So maybe we should say that a machshava ultimately, again, shouldn't invalidate based on the kavachomer. It's the kavachomer. We'll say pebeis mebeis 82b third line down. Umam makum shepasal dam shebifnim es shebachutz ein machshava poselas bifnim. So we'll say ultimately, again, if in the situation shepasal dam shebifnim es shebachutz, right, when you bring some blood inside, that disqualifies any remaining exterior blood, yet a machshavas pnim does not disqualify anything. Makum shelo pasal dam shebachutz shebifnim. So again, in a situation where when you take blood outside, it does not go ahead and invalidate the blood inside. Eino din shelo yehei posel machshava bachutz. So certainly then, a machshavas chutz should not invalidate as well. Talmud lomar shlishi. Chutz lizmano. Pigol chutz limkomo. See, Rabbi, so we have another limud. The truth is, remember again, this harkens back to what we learned a long time ago, that the concept ultimately, again, of chutz lizmano and chutz limkomo is actually not learned from a kavach chomer, it's learned from a totally different pasuk. So shlishi teaches me again chutz lizmano, and pigol ultimately teaches me chutz limkomo. Incredible. So we'll say basar hanich basar yotzi lechutz. Okay. So we'll say, so therefore, what we are left with over here is this fundamental machlokis between Rabbi Yosef Lili and the Chachamim. Namely, again, Rabbi Yosef, so let's go with what everybody agrees with, right? Everyone agrees that halacha lemaisa, if you have chatas blood in two utensils, and you take cup A outside, and cup B remains inside, chutz, everyone agrees that cup B remains valid for sacrificial use. What's the machlokes case? The machlokes case ultimately is you took cup A inside of the mikdash, inside of the heichal, into the kodesh hakodesh, right? So inside the heichal. What's the status of cup B? Rabbi Yossi Aglili ultimately, again, Rabbi Yossi Aglili says cup B is kosher for use, and the Chachamim ultimately again say that cup B is invalid for use. That's our fundamental machlokes case over here, okay? So we'll say, so the resolution of that Emir Hashem will come to. Let's go back to a little bit. Says the Gemara, Basar hanichnas lifnim kosher. Ultimately, again, this is actually very interesting. If you bring sacrificial meat, ultimately, inside it to the Kodesh, it is going to remain kosher. Still remains kosher. So the Gemara says, why? Now, sheyehei bedin shepasal. I would have thought that in reality, it should be pasal. Why should it be pasal? Uma b'makom shelo pasal dam shebachutz eshebifnim. Supposed to listen to this. When it comes to blood, if blood is taken outside, Ultimately, again, yet halacha lamaisa, any blood remaining inside, that's our previous case, remains kasher. Esh, the Gemara says, Eshe bifnim, basar hayotze l'chutz, pasal, mutz, the Gemara says, yet we know that when meat, right, sacrificial meat is taken outside, ultimately again it becomes pasal. Makom she pasal, dam she bifnim, eshe b'chutz. So therefore, halacha lamaisa, again, in a situation where ultimately blood that is taken inside, right, that's right, interior, renders any remaining blood outside pasal. Basar nichnas bifnim, eino din shei pasal. I would have thought for sure that therefore sacrificial meat that's taken inside should certainly be pasal. Harehu omer midama. So I'll say, interestingly enough, when it comes to the psul of pnim, when it comes to the psul of taking something inside, apparently the only thing it applies to is sacrificial blood, not sacrificial meat. Mi dama, dama v'lo basar. It applies ultimately again to meat and not to, I'm sorry, it applies to blood and not to meat. So just a fascinating detail over here that this psul of pnim only applies to sacrificial blood, not to sacrificial meat. So one second, kavachomer. Therefore, again, if that's true, I'm going to make a kavachomer, it's the kavachomer. Me'ata u'ma b'makum she'pasal dam she'bifnim she'bachutz. If it's true, as we said before, that when some blood is taken inside, ultimately, again, it goes ahead and renders unfit any blood that's left outside. Basar hanichnas lifnim kasher. Yet halacha lemaisa, if sacrificial meat is taken inside, ultimately, again, it remains kasher. Makom shelo pasal dam shebachotz eshebifnim. So if that's the case, again, halacha lemaisa, blood. When you take some of the blood and you leave it, right, when you take some of the blood outside, the remaining blood on the inside is kasher. Therefore, again, basar hayotze lochotz eino din shekasher. So all the more so, again, meat that is taken outside should also remain kasher. Hareyu omer, ubasar basada trefa lo sochelu. The pasuk says, ultimately, again, basar basada. Now, basar is very interesting. The Gemara's understanding over here. Now, again, that pasuk, basar basada trefa lo sochelu, is actually talking about, as you're talking about an animal that is killed by another predatory animal. And therefore, that's called the trefa. But over here, interestingly enough, the Gemara understands basar basada. Basada trefa means any meat that is outside of its mechitza. Any meat that is outside of its permitted area, by definition, is treated like a trefa, which also means that sacrificial meat that's taken outside of its permitted area ultimately, again, becomes like a trefa. Once sacrificial meat is taken out of its mechitza, taken out of its permitted area, ultimately, again, it becomes asur. Tana Rabbanan. Pnima, eini ela pnima. So we'll say, this is actually very interesting. So remember again, the pasuk says, Hey Mahuba es dama ala kodesh pnima. So remember, this is one of the sources, Rabbi Yosef Lili's source, where ultimately, again, if you bring chatas blood inside of the Beis HaMikdash, it is going to be possible. Now, boss, now watch this. So the Gemara says, I only know that if you bring the blood pnima. Now, what does pnima mean? Pnima means kodesh kadoshim, to the Holy of Holies. So I only know that if you bring the blood into the Holy of Holies, it is disqualified. How do I know? The Gemara says, Hey Chalminayim, how do I know that even if you bring it into the Beis HaMikdash proper, right, what we call the Heichal, remember again, the Heichal, that's where the menorah is, the Shulchan is, the Mizbeach is, how do I know that it's disqualified there as well? Now, at the outset, this kind of seems to be like a little bit of a strange question. Why? Because obviously the only way you're getting to the let's get to it. So let's say, so again, so I only know Pnima. I only know the disqualification for Chatos blood is in the Kodesh HaKadoshim. How do I know that the disqualification for Kodesh blood, for Chatos blood, is even in the Kodesh, even in the Heichal? Talmud Lomar, El HaKodesh Pnima. The Pasuk says, El HaKodesh Pnima. So we're understanding over here that Kodesh ultimately, again, is the Heichal. Right, is the Heichal, and then Penima is the Kodesh HaKadoshim. So from here you see the disqualification ultimately again is not only in the Kodesh HaKadoshim, but ultimately again is in the interior as well. Says the Gemara, is in the Heichal as well. Amar Rava, Bazeh V'limeit Alzeh. So this is very interesting. Rava comes along and says, now, by the way, we'll say, interestingly enough, how do you know Kodesh Penima, how do you know which is which? So Rava says, because we learn out one from the other. One sheds light or casts light on the other. What does this mean? Midi dahavei atosha v'sachir. This is no different than the case of Toshav and Sakhir. Now, Bussin, now watch this. What's the case of Toshav and Sakhir? So this is fascinating. So the Gemara says, Desanya, Toshav, Zeh Kanoi Kinyan Olam. Toshav, Rabbi, refers to someone, ultimately, again, who is an Eved Ivri, an pierced Eved Ivri, ultimately, again, who is going to go ahead and remain with the coin, ultimately, until Yovel. Rashi says over here, first of all, if you look at Rashi, Kinyan Olam, before that, Rashi says, Toshav Koin V'sachar Lo Yochal Kodesh. Now, the Torah says that the Toshav and the Sachir of a Kohen cannot eat of sacrificial items, cannot eat Kodesh. Who's the Toshav? Who's the Sachir? So ultimately, again, so the Toshav is someone who the Kohen owns until Yovel. Toshav Zekanoi Kinyan Olam. Sachir Zekanoi Kinyan Shanim. The Sachir ultimately, again, is an Eved Ivri who is only there for 7 years. So the Gemara says, Yomar Toshav, Al Yomar Sachir. So if that's the case, just say that a Toshav, once you tell me that an Eved that the Kohen has until Yovel is not eating Kodesh, then it's obviously that the Eved who the Kohen only has until when? For 7 years is not going to eat Kodesh. Vani Omer, Kanoi Kinyan Olam in Ochel, to which the Gemara says, Kanoi Kinyan Shanim Lakol Shekein. So if the one who he owns until Yovel is not going to eat of Kodesh, then certainly the one who he only owns for a couple of years is not going to be eating Kodesh. To which the Gemara says, no, Ilukein Hayisi Omer, Toshav Zeh Kanoi Kinyan Shanim. Aval Kanoi Kinyan Olam Yehe Ochel. Shabbos said, because interestingly enough, had the Torah only written one term, I would have assumed that who is that? That's the Eved owned for a couple of years. But the Eved owned until Yovel would eat of Kodesh. Therefore, again, the Gemara says, Bas Sachir Velimeit Al Toshav. Therefore, once you have both terms, I understand that one sheds light on the other. Shezeh kanoi kinyan olam, v'zeh kanoi kinyan shana ve'ino ocha. So once it says both terms, I understand that Toshav refers to someone who is owned until Yovel, and that person can't eat. And therefore, again, Sachir refers to one who is owned ultimately for a number of years and can't eat as well. Said Rabbosai, the Gemara is suggesting over here that sometimes the way we interpret things biblically is when there's two terms that are present, one ultimately, again, sheds light on the other. So therefore, so too with Kodesh and Penima, both, when I have both of the terms, I understand Kodesh means the Heichal, and Penima ultimately, again, means the Kodesh HaKadoshim, the Holy of Holies. Only because there's both terms that I understand one before the other. So therefore the Gemara says, but 1 second, it's not really the same. So, okay, what we'll do is we'll stop over here for today. Again, we'll see again what both Israel say. But the one piece, so again, what I do want to point out, is we're kind of leaving off a little bit in the middle of the conversation over about Kodesh and Penima. We'll pick up with that tomorrow. But the one thing I just do want to resolve before we end for Shabbos is that halacha lemaisa, in the case of the two cups of blood, right? Because remember, again, that was the Machlokes case. Two cups of Chatas blood, one is brought inside and one is left outside. What's the status of the outside blood? Rabbi Yosef Lili says it's kasher. The Chacham ultimately, again, say that it's pasul. The Rambam paskins like the Chachamim. Namely, that the remaining cup of Chatas blood is pasul. Because even though they're in two different cups, we view them as, again, one entity of Chatas blood, and therefore, if you take part of it inside, it renders the entire mixture unfit. Now, what we'll continue with tomorrow is what part of the Mikdash do you have to bring the Chatas blood into in order for it to become invalidated? And the Pasuk itself seems to indicate to us that it's Kodesh Penima. Kodesh ultimately referring to the Heichal, and Penima referring to the Kodesh HaKadoshim. In which case, of course, just coming attractions, the question is going to become, well, once the blood is invalidated by bringing it into the Heichal, then why the need to teach me an additional limud that it becomes invalidated, ultimately going into the Kodesh HaKadoshim? The answer to that, the resolution to the Sugya Mitzvah tomorrow, Bosai, what a week, Shkoyach and good Shabbos. All right, good Shabbos, everyone. Good Shabbos.